greatest undoing of the believer in our days is to leave the mind unrenewed. The fact that you are born again, listen, does not mean that automatically your mind is renewed. When you got born again, your spirit man got lit up. It received the light of God. The Bible says in the book of John chapter 1, talking about the ministry of Jesus, first of all, talking about his birth. In the beginning was the Word was God, and the Word was God. Verse 2 says, and the Word, the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. If you go further down, it says, is the light that lights every man that cometh into the world. Jesus is the one that gives light to every man that comes into the world. The unbeliever has a spirit, but his spirit is full of darkness. Jesus is the light of the world. It says, he that comes after me will not walk in darkness. So the day you give your life to Christ, your light bulb received power. You came alive. You came into the reality of the realm of the Spirit. You came into the reality of God. You came into the reality of the Holy Spirit. Your spirit man received light, received illumination. But your soul, which has three compartments, the mind, the will, and the emotions, remain the same. Your body remained the same. It is now the responsibility of the believer to renew his mind. It is the responsibility of the believer to renew her mind. If you leave your mind unrenewed, it will still be thinking the same thoughts, the same old thoughts that it was enjoying before you gave your life to Christ. And that's why you see that some people claim that they are born again, but you don't see any change in their lifestyle. The way they were living before they met Christ is the way they are living now. In fact, maybe they're even getting worse. But they can speak in tongues as a sign that they are born again. But they go to church. But they even preach. Yet, their mind is not renewed. Your mind is like the powerhouse of your soul. It is the decision-making center of every human being. Everything you see that we do today, we do because we have got some promptings from our mind. You came to church. You could have chosen to sit back at home and watch online, like some people would do, even when it's convenient to come to church. But some of you have come in spite of inconvenience because you made up your mind to be here. Some people, it's not convenient for them to be here today. It's not even convenient to join online, but as I'm talking to you, they're online. In spite of their very tight schedule, because they made up their mind. Your mind is where decisions, life transforming decisions are made. So you can be born again 10 times and your life doesn't change. And your life does not reflect the treasures of Christ that you carry on the inside. People will carry treasures and they will live their lives as though they never met Christ. Whether it's in the area of finances, whether it's in the area of your academics, whether it's in the area of marriage, whether it's in the area of ministry, if you don't renew your mind to the Word of God, to the extent that that mind is now functioning as the mind of Christ and dictating your daily actions and activities, you will never really benefit from your salvation experience. So we have a job on our hands. We have a duty on our hands to renew our minds daily to the Word of God. Interestingly, nobody can do this for you. I've ministered to a few people, and sometimes I pity their situation, pity their conditions, because I know that unless they do something about their situation, nobody can help you. If you like, go and get the most anointed apostle in the world and let them lay hands on you 10 times. If you don't renew your mind, certain things will not happen. As pastors, we pray for people and we say, become the very best all that God has for you. Be the best in the name of Jesus. Everything you need will come to you in the name of declarations of faith. Very good. But the one receiving them, is it doing what it's supposed to do? I heard the story of two men, whether it's a proverb or it's a real life story, I don't know. That the two of them got prophecies, same day at same meeting. One was told they would never make it in life, no matter what he does. The other was told he would make it and he would become very rich. The one that was told he would never make it in life went back to God in the place of prayer and then started working hard on his business and working smart and consulting with people, trying to exchange ideas, and because he doesn't want to wind up being a pauper. He's been told he would never make it. He ended up making it. The other one that was told that he shouldn't just worry, he'll be fine. I mean, his future is bright and everything was going to be all right. He wound up being a pauper because he never did anything about it. Never took action. Just because he had been told by word of prophecy that he would be rich. James 2:17 says, I'm paraphrasing now. Show me your faith. He said, no, for faith without corresponding action. Faith without works. Faith, if it has no works, is dead being alone. You can be a man of faith, no doubt. You have faith that can move mountains. But if you don't add corresponding actions to your faith, it is dead. That faith is inoperative. It is unproductive. Now, you will not begin to add corresponding action to your faith unless your mind is renewed. So this series we're about to start will help you in every area of your life. The mind renewal is a process. And like every process, it will take time. It won't happen overnight. No, it won't. It will happen over time, not overnight. But then it will include your involvement. You need to involve yourself. And this is where many Christians are falling short. We don't like to exert energy. We don't like to get involved. God will do it. That's not true. God won't come down to renew your mind. The taste, the memory of the taste of the food you ate yesterday. I don't have to eat today. I remember that yesterday I ate. And what I ate was delicious. So today, I don't have food at home. But Father, I trust that I remember. Oh yeah, I remember the taste of apple. Can you survive on remembering the taste of anything? Talk to me, church. Can you survive on that? You feed every day. You feed every day. In much same way, you're going to have to apply yourself to the things of the Spirit. The Word of God is the food for your spirit man. And you need to feed every day. It's part of the mind renewal process. Because you are getting your mind renewed to the Word of God. Every time you expose yourself to the Word of God, it's like you are coming to the bathroom of God. And then you are having water to wash you. Let me show you Ephesians 5, then we'll go to our Romans. Ephesians 5 and verse 26. It said that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. The washing of water by the word. The word of God is water. Like you go into your bathroom every day. You can't say because you had your bath yesterday, especially if you're a lady. Maybe guys still have a way of escaping. Dirty guys have a way of escaping once in a while not to have their bath. But as a lady, you cannot afford it. You can't even afford it. In fact, you need to have yours like twice daily to maintain, you know, your hygiene, your body hygiene. All right? Now, can you imagine you not having your bath 4 or 5 days in a week? How possible is that? How will you feel good? The Bible talks about the washing of the water by the word. Every time you get into the word of God, you get washed by the water of this word. Our mind needs to be washed. In fact, that's why some people say everybody needs brain washing. Because the brain is the hardware. Your mind is the software. They're together. And when I say put your hand on your mind, some people do this. Ah, I get mine. You get mine, though. Your mind is not here. This is your chest. Your mind is here. It's up here. It's in the brain. How God created it, we don't know. But the brain can best be described as the hardware. If they open the skull, what they see is the brain. Nobody sees your mind. But the mind is in the brain. So it is the software. You prompt the software. And then you have a display on the hardware. All right? That inner one, that software, needs renewal. It needs to be washed. Because it dictates your daily actions. Spiritual actions also. You can choose to fast. You can choose to, I'm not going to fast. You can choose to go out and evangelize. You can choose, I'm not going to evangelize. The same affects your business. You can choose to let your business nosedive until you are broke, flat broke, and you are blaming God. But you can also choose to take advantage of the mind of Christ that you have. Why should I have the mind of Christ and still not be able to pay my bills? Why should I have the mind of Christ and still be sick? And in fact, sickly. People, there are certain Christians who are in and out of hospital regularly. It's not a nice kind of life. Every time they keep injecting you. Do you like it? If you don't like it, then a point should come in your life where there's a holy anger that arises in your heart. And you say, no, I don't want this anymore. This is not who I am. I mean, I remember when I was suffering from abortion. Seriously. Start something, never finish. Start something, never finish. I mean, it affected every area of my life. People would even promise to help me. The moment that thing came, there was a signal. The moment I got that signal, I knew that thing was not going to be successful. And it wasn't going to be successful. Until I had my mind washed by the word of God. Jesus said, it is finished. My problem was never starting a thing. My problem was finishing. Then I saw Zechariah 4:9. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. The word finish spoke to my heart. I renewed my mind to that word. I sat down with that scripture. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundations of this house. His hands, the same hands, shall also finish it. And you shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. I sat down with that. Just one verse. Zechariah 4:9. Just that one verse. I sat with it for more than a month. Every day, opening my Bible to it, sitting down and thinking through it. You know what I was doing? I was meditating on that word. I really wanted to understand it. But first of all, the word finish struck me. It got my attention. Any scripture that gets your attention like that, stay with it. Don't be in a hurry. Stay with it until your mind is renewed. Stay with it. Speak it. Memorize it if you have to. But then read it. Don't just memorize it and say, I can quote it. Read it. Read it out loud. Let your ears pick the signal and then let it go into your heart. As you are washing your plates, doing the dishes at home, come up with that scripture again. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish. Let it be the dominant thought in your mind. It will help to start rewiring your mind. The process of rewiring or reprogramming the mind is called mind renewal. Our minds have been programmed in a particular way, but it can be reprogrammed. Sometimes your background, where you're coming from, has programmed you already. If, for example, you grew up in the ghetto, nobody ever went to school, nobody ever made anything meaningful in their lives, you also grew up to think, well, nobody can ever be president in our family. Nobody can be governor. No, let's not deceive ourselves because nobody has ever even attained a particular level in life. That's the natural family. That's the environment you're coming from. But when you come to Christ, the Bible says, wherefore, if any man be in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, he's a new creature. All things have passed away and all things have become new. Now, for all things to become new, you now begin to get into the word of God. you now begin to see possibilities. That it is possible someday for the governor of this state to send for me. It is possible for me to add value to myself. That the kind of value I carry, kings will send for me. Because you see in the word of God that the gift of a man will make room for him, and he will stand before kings and not mean men. You can be on that for 6 months. My gift. And listen to me, everyone has a gift. Everybody. God never made anybody empty. God never created any child empty. That's why I hate it when the child dies. Hey, that's a potential. That's a whole world. That's a whole generation. When old people die, glory be to God. Thank God they've lived their lives. Hallelujah. But for a child to die, it's a tragedy. Because you never know what that child would become. You never know the potential that a child carries. A child is a seed. In that seed is a forest. That's the way God has wired life. But for the forest to come out, you must go through the process of mind renewal. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Nobody can help you to think better if you don't sit down with the Holy Ghost and renew your mind. The best others can do is to motivate you, stimulate your mind a little bit, touch your ego a little bit, touch your fantasy a little bit. The real work is you sitting down with the Word of God and allowing the Holy Spirit to help you. Motivational books can help your feelings a little bit. Motivational speakers can help your feelings a little bit. You have to come to a point where you sit with the Word of God and with the Holy Spirit. And you pray a lot in tongues, it also helps in this process. Pray a lot in tongues. You will have sanctified thinking. Pray a lot in tongues. Some things will be coming to you that nobody taught you. And you start writing them down. You start journaling them. That's your future evolving gradually. That's the forest coming out of the seed gradually. That's why Satan is interested in seed. And because he knows that God is interested in seed. In Psalm 22 and verse 30, I believe, Psalm 22 and verse 30, it says, a seed shall serve him, and it shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. A seed, one seed, shall serve him. But when you bring the accounting books to the Lord, it is accounted to the Lord for a generation. So when God is looking at a seed, he's looking at a generation. A new generation can emerge from you. Can I have an amen? Oh, well, my parents died early. My grandparents died early. Hey, here's a new generation here. Here's a new generation here of longevity. Oh, the dad poor, the dad broke. Here's a new generation here of real, real biblical, real God-ordained prosperity that will touch nations. Not just lives, nations. It's about how you think. And hey, sorry, I can't help you. If you think too small of yourself, too low of yourself, and you refuse to renew your mind, and you think, well, kill Sarah, Sarah, what will be? We just try. We don't know. We don't know who will make harm. Huh? The Yorubas have a saying. They say, I'm Johnny. Mori Olola. Ori Oshule, you wako jo. Ewa Mori Olola. Sorry, Tiyeye, Kunshuri Olola. I once asked my mom, I said, why is it that in your generation, people used to give birth to a lot of children, 13 children, 14, 8, 9. I said, why? My mom said, because back in the day, they never knew the child that would make it. So you have to give birth to many. Then one at least will make it. I said, even that one will die of poverty because the rest, they will finish him. I said, why don't you have two? And believe God that the two. Again, you see the way they think. What if one dies out of the two? If you have five, what if the old five, all of them die? Job had seven before, or eight. They died, all of them, one day. Is it not God that keeps them? Even if you're an only child, God can keep you. And from you, a generation will spring forth. Papa Kenneth Copeland was the only child of his parents. Only child. The man is about 84 now. Generations have sprung forth. He has seen his great-grandchildren. I think, counting now, at the last count, is about number 9. Great-grandchildren. That's the kind of grace I trust God for. Not just my children, to see my grandchildren and to see my great-grandchildren. And that's why I don't throw away my Bibles. I have a Bible collection. So when they come over to my house, they'll be so happy. I know they won't speak my kind of English. We found Grandpapa's Bible. Grandpapa. And I say, That's the way I think. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Who says that you can't make a first class in that school? First class, let me just pass. Let my people go. And that's why you see there are only few people at the top. Because very few renew their minds. We have the believer's advantage. We have the word of God. I've sat with some Muslims. I was shocked at the way they even think. They even think better than Christians. We have the believer's advantage. They don't have the word of God. We have the word of God. We have the Holy Spirit. We can speak in tongues. But we don't apply ourselves. That's why I want to beg you. I've done this very long introduction because we will go through this material together for weeks. And I really want you to practice everything you are going to be taught. The senior pastor has taught us in the other church. I can tell you, I don't know how many people are doing it. As that class ended, some people can't even find their materials now. I want the case to be different here. You're young people, you don't have families yet. Make this part of your daily routine. That, look, I want to renew my mind. The Lord said to me earlier today, said, I really want to transform the lives of many people, but I can't help them. I want to, but I can't. Because they make themselves, pardon my English, unhelpable. Some Christians have made themselves inaccessible to help. My wife and I were driving home last night and we're talking. I can't remember the particular scenario right now, but it was about somebody whom somebody was trying to give a job. Okay, so I remember. A particular young man that took a loan to do business. And the loan was close to $1 million. Someone we know. And we know the person that helped him facilitate the loan as well. So his wife was talking to me. He got the loan. He did what I can call 25% of what the loan was meant for. Now, go and buy the goods you need to grow to sell so that you can start servicing the loan. He has refused. So my wife was asking, where's the money now? I said, sure, you know where that kind of money must have gone to. Let me break it down. So you took a loan, say $1 million, to do poultry business. And out of that money, you've made the shelter for the chicken, what they call the cage. He's made the cage already. Now go and buy the chicks or chicken, as the case may be, and the feed, and then the treatment, and let the treatment start. So that maybe in 3 months, now you should be having a harvest right now. The Muslim festival is this weekend. That was the target. The loan is meant to be repaid by July. It should start the repayment by July. So they gave him a moratorium of about 3 months. He got the loan in February. They gave him free. March, April, May, June. 4 months moratorium. Free. Don't pay back. Then by the end of July, start paying back around 60,000. You got almost $1 million. He made the cage since February. He's a Christian. Born again. He believes the Bible. No, he has a Bible. Because I don't know if you believe the Bible. The wife, out of her pain, was telling me that, sir, the cages are there now, lying fallow. And I've asked him, when are you buying the day-old chicks and some few weeks and whatever? When are you buying them? Say, I will buy, I will buy, I will buy, I will buy. Procrastination. And then the wife said, actually, he was owing some people some money. And then when that loan came, he started repaying some people from the loan that was meant to be a capital to start a new life. My wife said, and the person that facilitated the loan is a mentor to us. He's one of our big brothers. You have to tell him. I said, I won't tell him yet. I need to go to the site first to see what's on ground. But you see how some people make themselves inaccessible. No, forgive me. That's not even the word. They make themselves unhelpable. That even God cannot help them. because they have conditioned themselves to a kind of thinking. And my wife said, maybe this guy is gambling. Because the wife once said it that he was doing something like that. But well, no. He's born again. He can't do that. Today, I don't know what anybody can do, really. Then the big question. How, where will he get money from to start paying back the loan by the end of July? Note, the wife added, their rent is due. The house rent is due, same July. Note, the same person that helped him to facilitate the loan was the one that helped them to pay the house rent the last time. Will he pay the house rent again? You see how Christians can be sometimes. Will you go to such a man and say, sir, I'm sorry, I can't pay house rent. And he will say, I got to almost a million naira loan to do a business. So are you telling me that that business has not produced, even if it's half of the money? And you see the kind of Christians we are producing today, they have entitlement mentality. Like, you have to help me. You really need to help me. Like, my help is in your hands and you have to give it to me. I don't owe you a dime. Nobody owes anybody a dime. Those of us who give, give because we believe the word of God. And we allow the compassion of the Spirit to flow through us. You're looking for a job. Okay, what do you have? And I didn't go to school. It's not a crime. Do you have a skill? No skill. But I need a job. Anyhow. How? How? Do they have the mind of Christ? Yes, they do. But are they benefiting from the mind of Christ? No, they are not benefiting from it. Now, if such a person, sickness now strikes, how is he going to recover? When you can't even deploy the mind of Christ to the day-to-day activities that you engage in, how do you now fight a spiritual battle? How do you now fight for your children? Now you are bringing children into this world and they expect you to be their cover. Ladies, don't marry stupid men. Don't make that mistake in your life. If you marry a stupid man, the entire house will be stupid. And men, you too, open your eyes very, very well. So you don't marry a fire extinguisher. If you carry fire, don't marry an extinguisher. See, by the time you start renewing your mind with the word of God, actually the word of God will help you. There will be many questions that will be popping up and you will have answers. You'll be thinking on another level. You'll be thinking like Christ. Can you imagine Christ being stranded in any situation? Many times they came to tempt him. They went back embarrassed. One time they came and said, is it lawful to pay tax? They wanted to catch him. Shebi, you call yourself son of God. Eh? So is it lawful to pay tax? He said, give me a coin. They brought the coin. The money they were spending. He looked at it and said, whose picture is this? He said, Caesar's. He said, so give to Caesar what is Caesar's and to the Lord what is the Lord's. Finito. They couldn't catch him. Another time they came to catch him. They listened to his speech. They were embarrassed. They went back to the people that asked them to arrest him. They said, where is the man we said you should capture? He said, never man speak like this before. By the words of his mouth. Sometimes lawyers will go and tempt him. They'll go back ashamed. We have that mind. We have that spiritual mind. In addition to our natural mind, we have the spiritual mind, which is the mind of Christ, which thinks spiritual thoughts, which brings solutions to the questions and the problems that life brings our way. Are you with me tonight, church? So let's get into this material. Romans chapter 12. Let me read the introduction very quickly. You will have it next week. This material was put together by the man Corey Blake. Corey Blake is the face today of John G. Lake Ministry. John G. Lake was a man used of God very mightily. He was an American who left America for South Africa to do the work of God. And God mightily used that man. I think by the time he went to South Africa, there was a plague in South Africa then. I think it was the bubonic plague or so. People were just dying in all of the churches, the families. People were dying because of the plague. It's like what you call Ebola or what was the last one that killed people? COVID. They actually put the virus on him. He said they should put it on him. And they checked in the lab. All the viruses died. I mean, it flowed that much in the power of God. If I touch anybody that has it, the person will recover. Because that thing will die. Because Jesus said, you lay your hands on the sick and they shall recover. You remember during COVID, he said, don't touch anybody. Don't touch anybody. He touched. He prayed for people and those people actually got healed and lived to testify. But of course, like the other heroes of faith, he's gone. But there's a man now called Corey Blake who is the face of that ministry, who is living the legacies, who is pushing the legacies out of John G. Lake ministry. And so he was the one that put this material together that we're using for this mind renewal process. He said, for years I've noticed, okay, let's read Romans 12, 1 to 3, first of all, which is going to be our anchor scripture for this mind renewal. We have about 3-4 scriptures, but let's read this one first. I beseech you therefore, brethren, Romans 12, 1 to 3. By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Don't blend with this world. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. I want you to notice something in verse 2. Be not conformed to this world. This world has its own pattern, has a way of thinking. He said, don't blend with the world. There is the world way of doing things. He said, don't do it. But you, be transformed. To be transformed is to go from, to be transported from one form to another. We all did elementary biology, and you remember what is called metamorphosis. From egg to, do you remember biology? From egg to what? Egg to what? I left secondary school like some, what's 1997 up until now? That's some 20. Are you sure it's 27 years or 24 years? 27, 1997. Okay. I left secondary school in 1997. And I was taught that in SS1. So SS1, add 2 years. So you remove 2 years. That's 29 years ago. And I still remember. I have the mind of Christ. From egg to larva. From larva to pupa. It is from pupa. In some cases, you even go to imago before you go to adult. In some cases, it's from that egg to larva, larva to pupa, pupa to adult, right? If you look at, you can Google this when you get home. The egg does not look like the larva. The egg is not, no, sorry, egg to larva. Larva does not look like egg. Egg does not look like larva. Larva is not elongated egg. Larva is a different form on its own. It's totally different from an egg. If you look at a larva and you look at an egg, you can tell the difference. Are you getting what I'm saying? Larva to pupa. Pupa is completely different also from larva. Then the adult butterfly that flies around is not the same as imago or as pupa. That is called transformation. You are transported from one form into another. A complete transformation. They don't look like each other. I was trying to say this last week, that this is different from reformation. To be reformed sounds to me like to become a better version of yourself. You are still you. We can still recognize you. It's just that you have become a better version. To be transformed is to be completely changed. Completely changed. Completely changed. For example, if the last time you saw a particular person was when you were in primary one, maybe your seatmate in primary one, you were both 5-year-old or 6-year-old at the time, and you lost contact, and the person went to America. Now you are 25. The person now comes to Nigeria. You have not seen each other on Facebook or anywhere, but somehow, maybe your parents are family friends, and so they arranged a meeting. The guy is ready now to marry, and we don't know whether you two are available. You know the way families do things. And then, boom, you guys meet. Maybe at an eatery, or they organize a place, and then you meet. Both of you would see a complete transformation because you are not that little girl anymore. That was 6 years old. At that time, you were like a boy. There's no difference between you and a boy. In fact, you used to scrape your head. Maybe your parents used to scrape your head for you. But now you're all, excuse me. There's a complete transformation. We don't need to go into transformation. For the guy, it was just like some paco. Maybe he was the thinnest boy in class. But now the guy is huge. He's got all the biceps and triceps. He's got beards. He's got everything. The voice is cracked. Hey, come on, how you doing? He said, Kelechi, is this you? And he also looks at you, Kendi, I can't believe this, man. Come on, turn around, turn around. I said, come on, well, excuse me, I'm a believer. I'm sorry. Complete transformation. You don't look like that thing anymore. That's why some of you don't like to share throwback pictures. I've seen some throwbacks in this church. I said, oh, Father, we thank you. That's all we can say. Let's just say, Father, we thank you. Because there has been a complete transformation. That's who we are supposed to be in Christ. That's how we are supposed to grow in Christ. A complete transformation. When people see you, they say, wow, is this you? Joseph was so completely transformed that his 11 brothers, 11 of them, none of them could recognize him. Not even Benjamin from his same mother. And he left home at 13. Now they met him at 30. It must be 38. Because there were 7 years of good stuff, of harvest, and then 7 years of famine. They came in the first year of the famine. He became prime minister at 30. So the 7 good years, the guy had eaten so much. He had taken fresh juice, fresh tomatoes, fresh fruits, fresh everything. And then he was now married. There was constant food. And then he had become the prime minister of Egypt. He's like the president of America. Big boy, fresh, gold chain around his neck. See the chariot next to that of Pharaoh. He was the commander-in-chief of the entire world because Egypt was world power at the time. You now want his shepherd brothers and others. They couldn't recognize him. And he looked at them and he could recognize them. And deliberately was speaking the Egyptian language to the Egyptian officials that were with him. I'm sure there was some kind of interpretation as they came to buy food. He was asking the Egyptian officials, what do they want in their presence? They didn't know it was him. And they talked to one another. He could hear what they were saying. They didn't know he could understand them. Until the day he invited them to the palace. And then he told everybody, the Bible says he couldn't contain it anymore. He told everybody to get out. And he cried. He wept so loud that the officials hanging at the corridor of his palace could hear. The Bible says the elders of the house of Pharaoh heard him. What could make our prime minister to be crying like this? He wept so loud. I'm sure he was thinking, should I kill all of them? No, except my brother. I will save my brother. And then he called them. I am Joseph. Sounds like we've had that name before. You can imagine the denial. They go, Joseph! No, they knew what they did. You see? Huh? No, it can't be the Joseph. We used to have one Joseph one time. He said, the one that you sold, your brother. They went prostrate. What do you do? Why couldn't they recognize him? He had been completely transformed. I'm praying for us, really, that our lives will be much more transformed in Jesus' name. But we have a role to play. There is no mountain before a child of God that cannot be surmounted. There is no insurmountable mountain. Jesus said in Mark 11, 23, he said, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he saith. If you can renew your mind, it will help your faith journey. Because you will see God as one who can move any mountain. Today, some people see God like he can answer some prayers, but he cannot do certain things in their lives. He can do this one, but God cannot do this one. They are not saying it, but in their thinking, they are thinking it. And as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. If I tell you now that by the special grace of God, come Dunamis next year, April next year, this church is going to contribute 10 million. We gave 1 million this year. We're going to contribute 10 million to the Dunamis budget. Thank you. One person came. Somebody said, Pastor, even that 1 million, you see the way you are thinking. Because you've looked at yourself and you've summarized your life. And you think that your progress will be by arithmetic progression. You are not thinking that God can give you a quantum leap, that you can make progress by geometric progression, that you don't have to go from 1, 2, 3, to 4, to 5, to 6, that God can take you from 4 to 40 to 95. That God can collapse time in your favor. Joseph didn't have the opportunity to go to university, sir. And he was raised in Egypt, a land where education came from. While his mates were in the university and they were training, and they were training for the throne, he was in prison. Yet, God took him out overnight and gave him a quantum leap to become the second in command in the whole of Egypt. In fact, he said to his brothers, he said, go and bring my dad. Tell him that God has made me a father unto Pharaoh. May God raise fathers unto Pharaoh in this house. If you know what that means, whether you are male or female, it applies. May God make you fathers and mothers unto Pharaoh in the name of Jesus. For every Pharaoh, there's a father. Your president might be an unbeliever, paraku, but he has people he's listening to. People that advise him, president, don't do it like that. So if you do it, the economy will further plunge into the abyss. Do it this way, sir. If we do this, we're going to get this result. And then you come up with statistics. You say, wow, wow. They call them special advisors. In the case of Joseph, he was the only one. All the senators were quiet because Pharaoh asked them, is there anyone that is as wise and discreet as this young man is? A man in whom the Spirit of God is? He was an idol worshiper, but he recognized the presence of the Holy Spirit in Joseph. How much more we who are New Testament believers? Joseph operated under the old covenant. He didn't have a copy of the Bible. You have the Bible, you are keeping malice with your Bible. Your future is here. I plead with you tonight. The closer you get to this book, the closer you get to the fulfillment of your destiny. The more you pray in the Holy Ghost, the more you have your mind being renewed. Let me just introduce the material. 40 seconds. Cody Blake said, I've noticed the slow progress of Christians in the area of having their minds renewed. Serious, well-meaning Christians have attended church for years, sometimes even decades, without having their lives radically changed. Many times, they have simply reformed themselves into better people. Many have made a break from the prevalent sins they were enslaved to as non-Christians. Some were able, by resolution and willpower, to stop practicing some of the sins and the weights of a worldly lifestyle that had previously been common habit. Sir Charles Finney once said that there must be certain characteristics and traits that we have as Christians that make us different from non-Christians. We ought to be different. Are you getting what I'm saying? As a born-again Christian, you should be different from unbelievers. There must be something you have that they don't have. If not, why are we born again?
Are we born again just to have money? Unbelievers have more money. And those who think that there's no money in Nigeria, think twice. Every Saturday, there are events. Every weekend in this country. Go to Lagos. Go to Abuja. Go to Port Harcourt. The way some people spend money, you almost want to backslide. I say, please, teach me how to make this money. We're not born again so that we can chase money. We're to chase the kingdom. Work smart. Add value to yourself. Value attracts money. But there must be something beyond money that we have that they don't have. Something that will make them look at you and say, oh boy, something is different about you. Something is different. In this company, you're a different guy. And you tell them, Jesus. But before you get to that point, it's important that you renew your mind. Are you with me, church? There must be things that we can do by the power of the Spirit in our lives that those who do not have the power of the Spirit in their lives cannot do. You can be so overtaken by the Holy Ghost that there's a naughty issue in your office. People are running helter-skelter. Nobody has the solution. And you tell them, boss, give me 5 minutes. And you go into your closet. Precious Holy Spirit, what is the solution? In your light, I see light. Psalm 36 and verse 9. With you is the fountain of life, and it's in your light we see light. So in your light, I see light. And you are quiet, listening for the voice of the Holy Spirit. And it says, get up, do this, do that. Tell them to look at whatever, whatever. Check page 64. You find the answer there. As many as are led by the Spirit of God. They are the sons of God. When I went for my visa interview, I said to the Holy Spirit, years ago, 2013 December, as my number popped up at that window where that guy was refusing everybody and I didn't want to go there, but my number came from to that window. As I got up, I said, Holy Spirit, it's your time. That was all I said. I forgot about everything I memorized. I got there, was asking questions, I was giving answers. I believed that whatever I was saying, Holy Ghost was the one talking. And then it got to the point, a question that had occurred to me before, and I'd rehearsed my own answer. But because I told him, Holy Spirit, it's your time, he gave me what to say at that moment, which was different from my memorized answer. And I said it, and that was God's master stroke of divine strategy. The guy changed his countenance. Someone who had looked very stern, now his face dissolved into a warm smile. And he became friendly. Asked 2-3 more questions and told me, pick up your visa on the VI. You must know what the Holy Ghost is saying part time. The same happens with soul winning. You can try your best to win a soul, but the scriptures are not flowing. The words are not flowing. Come on, retreat internally. The solution is on your inside. Take a break. Keep quiet for a few minutes. You are trying to draw from the mind of Christ that is in you. I've seen him do it for me. I told you, my first white convert, Teresa Harlow, a 60-year-old woman in 2015. How many years ago? 9 years ago. So that lady must be 69 now, if she's still alive. Too smart for me. She knew something about everything. I mean, well-read, a well-read American. Some of them don't really go to school like that. They're just smart, and then they do tech things and all that. This one went to school, first degree, master's, a lot of professional courses. I said, Holy Spirit, every human being has a password. Give me the password to this woman. Give me the password. And he gave me. And I used the password. Boom, she opened up. There is no mountain too high for a child of God to climb when you walk with the Holy Spirit. Are you getting what I'm saying? You have a presentation and the professors are looking at you through their binocular. Looking at you like this. All right. That doesn't make sense. Can you say that again? Retreat. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, what do I say?
You are going for a business presentation. Your company has submitted the proposal. The second man defend your proposal, and your boss said you are the one to go. And you're shaking. Hey, pray, pray in the night before you go in the morning. Pray, pray. 2-3 hours. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Rabakataya laba samba. Gegogostupaya. It will give you what to say. I've been through some of these things. I can tell you, presentations upon presentations, and people will come to me and say, wow. One pastor came to me one time. He said, where did you study abroad? I said, me? Abroad? You didn't even ask for local. You're asking for abroad. I've seen it happen again and again and again, and I arrogate all the glory to God, but I can tell you that we need to lock hands with God to renew our mind. You can be more than you are right now. You can do more than you are doing. You can produce more. Let nobody ever think in this house tonight that they have arrived. You have not arrived. You are still on a journey. Celebrate progress, but not arrival. Are you with me, church? This is the church for thinking people. And as long as I'm your pastor, I'm going to keep pushing you. I'm going to keep pushing you. I'm going to keep pushing you into excellence. I'm going to keep pushing you into more, because there is more. You are more than what we see now. You are more than anybody sees now. You are more than what you see. If you see yourself with the eyes of faith, you have the riches of Christ locked up in your spirit. May the Lord bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'll close this tonight by giving you a definition. The definition of mind renewal. So write, if you are writing. You'll have the material next week by God's grace. Mind renewal is the restoration of the mental faculties of a Christian. Mind renewal, this is where we stop tonight, is the restoration or restoration of the mental faculties of a Christian to the state that God originally intended man to operate in. I say that again. Mind renewal is the restoration of the mental faculties of a Christian to the state that God originally intended man to operate in. Mind renewal is renovating the mind of a Christian. Mind renewal is renovating the mind of a Christian. It is the removal of information, patterns, mindsets, attitudes, and limitations that would not be found in the mind of Christ. Let me put that in addition. Mind renewal is renovating the mind of a Christian. African Americans say Christian. Renewal. Mind renewal is renovating the mind of a Christian. Mind renewal is renovating the mind of a Christian. Because of those of you that will be going to America, so start learning that from now. Mind renewal is renovating the mind of a Christian. It's a Christian. But we say Christian. Glory be to God. It is the removal of information, patterns. Look at me. Look at the way I'm doing. Removal of information, patterns, mindsets, attitudes, and limitations that would not be found in the mind of Christ. I'll take it up from there next week by the grace of God. Have you been blessed tonight?
Mindset. Let me tell you one of the mindsets that we had when I was growing up in Mokola. We had the mindset of one day, you just marry the daughter of a rich man. Femoluwo. What's known here? What is Femoluwo? Ah! I pray for you. May you not work for your father-in-law. Go and ask Jacob what his eyes saw. For 7 years, he served for Rachel. Laban gave him Leah. He had to serve another 7 years, making 14 to have Rachel. That guy was rugged, though. Me, serve 14 years for one woman. Say, wait, it happened. No matter how rich your father-in-law may be, may you not work for your father-in-law. May you be a boss on your own. That's how respect comes. May you never be the kind of husband that says, wo ba mi pe ba mi pe oko eyan ko wa gbe wa lo si kini kuku ni se to nse pe wa pe wa gbe. And when it comes, wo ka wa do ti o ra fo yen ni ko fo ma fo Lexus yen ra fo la fe gbe jade. Yes sir, yes sir. But to ni se it doesn't have a job. Can they call you if you are running your own business? Can they send for you like that? I'm not saying I can't wash my mother-in-law's car, for example, but it's going to be out of my volition. Not, where is Fred? Fred, my room is dirty. Go and... when my mother-in-law, when mommy is talking to me sometimes, she's even putting, sir. I say, mommy, I'm your son. She's and she... Mommy won't take important decisions without consulting Pastor Fred, though. Hey, Pastor Fred, I want to build up my house. You see, what do you think we should do? Hey, that's the way it should be. Not, no. But that was the mindset I grew up with in Mokola. I will be daydreaming. One day, you'll be going on the road like this. You see a lady who has a flat tire. And you will roll up your sleeves. She's a fine girl. And you bend down to help her to remove the tire. And after removing the tire, you help her change the tire. And when you are done, she'll say, excuse me, I don't know, can we exchange numbers? Say, oh, no, I just did it, like, I just want to help you. You're on you. And now you now exchange numbers. And then when you now exchange numbers, you now get home, you now start texting each other. And then you start writing poems like, blessed is the day I met you. When I met you, when I first saw you, I already knew something, a butterfly was on my inside. There are many fishes in the river, but shark is the best. Oh boy. We were so daydreaming like something. You just made the daughter of Babangida. Where? No, tell me where. Our Salvation Army. On Badebo Street. Where now? Babangida's daughter. Doesn't have an idea where Badebo Street is. Okay, let's even say she now brings, you now meet her, she now takes you home. And the father comes out. Where do you live, young man? Say, number 16, Badebo Street, Mokola Ibadan. What? You're not talking Banana Island? You're saying Badebo Street, Mokola? Where's that? Oh, that's a slum, right? No, actually it's the hood, sir. Hood? You can maybe cheaply and easily meet such people is if you go to Harvard, you go to MIT, you know, those kind of schools, you can be classmates. There are certain schools that can put you, and some parents deliberately put their children in expensive schools, not because they are teaching anything special, but they want their kids to have connections. It is still the world way of thinking. You can be who you are from the ghetto, and God will pick you up. He's the one that lifts up the poor from the dust and the beggar from the dunghill and sets him with princes, the princes of their people, to inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and has founded the word upon them. 1 Samuel 2, 7 and 8. God is the glory and the lifter up of our heads. But thou, O Lord, stand on your feet, art a shield for me, the glory and the lifter of my head. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. You are my glory, and you lift my head. You can be a graduate of UI, and God will take you to the nations. Is it not happening today? Is it not happening today? When Ebola came and Ebola was going to destroy Africa, there was a group of medical doctors that arrested Ebola. One of them, a pastor in our church, a graduate of the University of Ibadan. He didn't go to Harvard. He didn't go to MIT. Pastor Dr. Peter Bayo Adewi. In his car, he was going to go to a paper. Today he's talking in dollars. He's in Liberia, he's in Gambia. They are arresting diseases all over the world. When they say disease, they arrest it. They see this, they arrest it. and they are paid in dollars. God used him to start our church in Liberia. Now we have another church in the Gambia, in a Muslim nation. God, the glory and the lifter up of our head. Doesn't matter your background. No! You are the child God loves. And because he loves you, he wants to project his glory to the world through you. But you have a role to play. Sit down with the word of God. Invest in your spiritual life. Renew your mind. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. God wants to make you a multimillionaire. You're thinking like a pauper. Don't wind up a pauper. Even when I couldn't afford to buy a TM Lewin shirt, brand new, being sold for $10,000 at that time. Through the instrumentality of one bros in this service, standing at the back, he will go to Dubai and buy the bend down, because we call it bend down boutique. Fairly used shirt, TM Lewin, Hoys and Curtis, fairly used, Akube. And I will pay maybe 2,000 naira, 2,500, and wash it, and starch it, and iron it, and look neat. And you could never tell I was wearing Akube. But I had the mindset I would never wear rags, even when there was no money. So it's not a function of what you have in your pocket. It's a function of what you have in between your two ears. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. I've never thought of myself as a failure in life. Never. My mother sold Pepe. If you put everything together that my mom was selling, the entire capital of our business was not up to 5,000 naira. It wasn't up to 5K. And yet, I will call myself blessed and highly favored. Blessed and highly favored. Blessed and highly favored. Come on. There's no mountain too high for any child of God to climb. I see you going to the nations in the name of Jesus. Possessing the mountains for God in the name of Jesus. Even in Nigeria, you'll be relevant. Not everybody that will go abroad. Those of us that will stay here will be relevant here in the name of Jesus. A couple came from America some years ago and came to my rented apartment. The wife screamed, "Pastor Fred, this is where you live. And you come to America, you manage with us." Because the apartment in Maryland then was very small. My house, if you came to the house where I was living then in Ashi, it was like a palace. The one we live now is even much better. So the glory of God. He said, "This is where you live." I don't live. A lizard in Nigeria will not become an elephant in America. Are you with me, church? Add value to yourself. Renew your mind with the word of God. Cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Come to Bible study. Do yourself a favor. Come to Bible study. Even if you come late, still come. Make efforts. Make efforts. And some people in Mokola now, they are playing around and they ought to be here. God will not come down to push you forward. You are a major player in the events of your life. Give him thanks tonight for the word. Give him thanks. Give him thanks. If something has dropped tonight, give him thanks. There is a burning desire in me to see men gloriously emerge in this house, to see the women in this house emerge into their glorious destiny. And everyone joining us online. One of our sisters sent me a text earlier today. She screamed, "Pastor Fred, I'm a doctor." They just released their medical results in UCH. Whatever your industry, God to be the best in your field in the name of Jesus. Malabasta kadabahaya. Father, we bless your name and we praise you. We will never be the same again, Lord. Thank you for this Bible study time. It's a different service tonight. Holy Spirit, I commit the church into your hands. I commit myself into your hands. This process you have put in motion, let us not abort it, but you help us that we will continue with you until our mind is completely renewed. To the glory of God the Father,
in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the sweet communion of the